Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good. All 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.
People say I ain't no good, and I'm crazy as a loon. Cause I shave my head in the morning, pick guitar in the afternoon. Just like old Chief and Charlie, I like to lay around in the shade. Well, I ain't got no money, but you better believe I got it made. Cause I ain't asking nobody for nothing if I can't get it on my own. Just leave this bald-headed country boy alone.
Here we go in 3, 2.
Hey, welcome back to our unapologetic era. But today we have Josh. So we're doing a duel, the Josh Terry podcast with our unapologetic era. So welcome, Josh.
That's the name of the show, is the unapologetic era.
You knew that already.
This is the most white bitch thing I have ever done in my life.
Look, I still think that go yoga is a good idea.
No, you have to manifest your 5D dimension first.
Look, Josh, this is what I need both of y'all to stop reading shit on TikTok and believing it.
Hey, I deleted the TikTok whenever they banned it, and I can't get it back now, and it's been the best thing for me.
Yeah, bitch, you are itching. You're like a crackhead right now. You will pay $3,000 right now if you had it to buy a phone with TikTok.
I will say I was sent by a friend a Riley Green, Megan Maroney controversy post. And I said, I can't see it. She had to screen record the TikTok and send it to me.
You're the equivalent of the Android friend now.
That is so true. Green messages.
She used to send me TikToks all the time, and I'm like, I can't see this. And then finally I had to give in.
Yeah, she didn't have TikTok for the longest time.
Until like September.
Now she's the TikTok guru. Mm-hmm.
It's actually TikTok. A whole nother facade for me. I'm a completely different personality than I am on Facebook or Instagram.
Okay, that is.
That's why. That's the only reason I have TikTok. I can be a completely different person because no one follows me except you that I know.
I did love TikTok for that reason because nobody knew who I was, really.
There's nobody that is the same person on Facebook that they are on TikTok. Nobody.
That is so true.
See? Yeah.
Nobody.
So true. Although Facebook hates me, so you know, whatever.
My mom is on Facebook and my grandma. I can't be posting stuff like that.
Josh, you want to tell us how you ended up doing podcasts? Like, how did you end up in this?
Yeah, so I worked for a couple of years in country radio. Had a big show here in Georgia, won a couple awards and all that good shit. During COVID, I got fired. I had said some stuff that was controversial, and it led to me. I have this rule in my life: no matter what I do, it's morals over money. And I've had it for a long time. So any decision that it comes down to, if I have to pick between a dollar or something that I believe in, I always go with what I believe in. That way, I can sleep at night. I might be broke as hell, but I can sleep at night.
Yeah.
I said some shit that I believed in on the radio, got fired. Then I ended up going that weekend because I was very depressed. I literally at that time had the number one talk show for morning time, which is huge in Georgia, and got fired off of it. Went to Jacksonville, Florida to a poker room to drink and play poker all weekend. And got to talking shit with a guy sitting across the table from me. And he ended up being somebody who worked for iHeartRadio, like an executive with him.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of told him what was going on with me or whatever. He never let on. He worked with iHeartRadio. And anyway, a couple hours in, me and him have done got liquored up, bullshitting with each other. And he fell in love with me. And
who doesn't? Yeah,
and I loved him. He was just the coolest dude. I haven't talked to him in like 4 years, but he was extremely
nice. Did you say you haven't talked to him in 4 years?
I haven't talked to him since all this happened.
Oh,
So he told me, he said, radio's dying, terrestrial radio's dead. Podcasts are the next wave. He said, you could probably go get any job in radio that you want in Georgia, Alabama, Florida, wherever. But there's a good chance what makes you really good and make people love you, you're going to get fired for again. So you can be like a journeyman and just go from radio station, collecting a check. If that's what you want to do, or you can start your own podcast and have a chance to be a Joe Rogan, a Howard Stern, or something like that. And I took that to heart, and I decided I came back to Georgia, and a week later I got a commercial property, opened up Raising Grace Studios. 4 months later, we had the number 74 show in the world at the time, not just in society and culture, but overall. We constantly stay in the top tw like 1,200 right now out of 3 million plus shows.
That's crazy.
Top 1% in the world, listen to almost every continent. There's some of them that don't like me. But most of
The
them
same one
do.
that would fire you.
Probably. But yeah, I started doing it my way. I listened to that dude, and when he told me, well, also too, what helped with that. I don't want people to miss this part. A lot of people wonder how my podcast exploded, like right out the gate. I already had a couple hundred thousand listeners that didn't want me fired from radio. That the
Yeah.
second I started my podcast, every one of them subscribed. Nobody gets that influx right off the bat. And then because of me meeting this guy from iHeartRadio, he told me that if I started my own show and started it, that he would put me on playlists the second I sent it to him. I thought he was full of shit. He literally put me on some of the top playlists for podcasts and shared me right out the gate,
That's huge.
like the second. So we literally already had a leg up on everybody. And then we started going to Nashville, making connections, making friends there. And you would think by a lot of the shit that I post that I am a complete asshole, because I kind of am. But if you get me in a room with somebody and you're willing to not judge a book by the cover, and you can actually have a conversation with me, even if you're a completely different walk of life, 9 times out of 10, you're gonna like me. And Nashville's been such a big help. That's how I met Leah.
Yes.
That's how we become buddies. And that's pretty much been my life the past 5 years.
Okay, so I have to say this. Like, not only are you and I friends, but I have a tremendous amount of respect for you personally. Josh and I have done very little work together compared to our friendship. Our friendship is more established than our business relationship. So I brought you on not just because you have such a great podcast, but because I really truly respect your opinion. And we have gotten a lot of feedback that we need a men's perspective, that we need a man's perspective. There is no better man's perspective than yours, honest to God. And I know that personally from you. He is as hard as he is, he's soft also. And so I know you're perfect for this.
So what she's saying is we need a man, Josh.
Well,
Hey, I'm one. One.
Yeah, he is a man.
We need a man.
He is a man. No, I know, like you're in a relationship, but you're single, like you're not married. How have you felt about the journey of relationships today? Whether
First
you're
off, I hate how you said that.
which part? The
The
journey?
you're in a relationship, but you're single.
I meant like you're not married.
Okay.
You're
But
not on
that's
lock and key quite
yeah.
yet.
Yeah, I meant like
Gotcha.
you're not a ball and chain.
But see, that's not how I see it though. Like that, I
But
guess that's
you
why
don't live in the same household is what I meant.
no, but I don't even see relationships like that. So I take relationships stupid fucking serious. I'm 37. I've never been married because I value what marriage is. And I've always said I'd rather spend 40 years looking for the right person than just settle. Like, I still believe in that old school shit. And the fact that I've only dated like four or five people serious since I was 18, I do see it as a ball and chain, but like a good thing. Like, if I make a commitment to you that I'm just seeing you, I'm a piece of shit when I'm single. Don't get me wrong. I am. I have a good time. I enjoy my life, but like
Not
the
that
girl
bad.
that I'm not. I really not. But when I'm seeing somebody, I treat it like a marriage. I think that's what you're supposed to do, because if you're not, then how are you treating it?
Okay, well, then I have a question for you. You said you've been single all of this time, or you haven't been married all of this time because you
Yeah.
were waiting for the right person. Are you sure that you're not overthinking this? Why haven't you jumped on it with one of these people?
It hadn't been right.
Okay.
I mean, and I know that oversimplifies it, but
It's a
like,
man, though. Y'all are oversimplified.
yeah, kind of. But there's this guy that, like, look, you're gonna fuss and fight with people. You're not gonna have a perfect relationship. You're not going to. But it's not about having a perfect relationship with somebody. It's about when you go through hell with somebody, who's gonna be the person that goes through hell with you, or who's the person that's gonna put you through hell. And I've had women that have put me through hell that wasn't willing to walk through hell with me. Like, that's kind of the difference. Like, when you find that person that will actually go through the trials and tribulations with you, that will struggle with you, that will do all this shit to no matter what, they're not giving up. That's the person you don't give up on. Like, that's why I haven't got married yet.
Yeah, I
When
say
you're.
that they need to fill the gap because none of us are always on our P's and Q's. So who can fill that gap whenever you're in a dip?
Yeah.
Probably
And
look
so.
for like who's the one filling 80% what I'm looking for. You're never gonna find him at 100%. But like what he's saying is I need somebody that's gonna stay in their ground, aka my
Steady,
spouse. Yeah.
steady.
Well,
Oh,
it's like for some of y'all, and I can't speak for all women when I say this, it's you ought to have the things that matter most to you. You ought to have those things that you don't waver on, those things that are deal breakers. Now, those should be the boxes that somebody checks off, right? But then there should be some boxes that you might sit here and say, oh, this matters so much to me right now. But it really shouldn't. So, like, let's say for some women, I hear y'all talk about this shit all the
I know where
time,
you're going with this, and I like
and it is
it.
gonna be funny to me. You're gonna sit here and say, some of y'all, no, I'm sitting saying either one of y'all. You're gonna say he's gotta be 6 foot, he's gotta be wealthy, he's gotta be all of this shit. He's gotta be every one of these things. But the thing is, if you're sitting here and you're looking at those boxes, and those are the boxes that dude has to check off first, well, you're missing that this dude ain't going to be there and be supportive of you when you need him. He's not going to pick you up when you're down. He's not going to hold you when you're crying. He's not going to be all the rest of this shit, because all he's ever had to do is be rich, be 6 foot tall, and be good looking.
And everybody's replaceable.
Yes. So when you're focused on those boxes, you're kind of missing the ones that matter. But if you focus on the ones that matter, that those core beliefs, for me, you got to have faith. You got to have a good heart. You got to be kind. You can be a little crazy. I like the crazy ones. Like, there's no doubt about that.
And I
Like,
do know.
but you got to be crazy in a way that's exciting.
I
Like,
had a
you got
theory.
to be fun.
I have a theory that men fall in love with the crazy that they find adorable and cute and sexy, and women fall in love with the stupid that they think is adorable, cute, and sexy. Because all men
Stupid.
are stupid and all women are crazy. How do you feel about that?
I like a crazy woman, but I like ones that are crazy about me the way that I'm crazy about them. There's a
Say
line
so, it's
there.
his crazy.
But somebody has to match your crazy. There's a lot of people, and this is a very fucked up thing what I'm about to say, but it is 100% true. There's a lot of people that live a domestic lifestyle, a domestic violence lifestyle, and it works for them. And it's very fucked up to say that.
I know what you mean by that.
They beat the shit out of each other, but then the next day they're so in love with each other.
They
That would
probably need to
ne
do a little inner work, but yeah, I get
They do.
it.
That
But then
would
you
never
can't. He's
that
right. You
would
can't. That's their familiarity, and they're trying to.
Yeah.
That's what they're comfortable with.
Physiologically, everything. That's their familiarity. So if they leave that, it's their
If they
connection.
found someone who was like what we call healthy, it would never work.
They wouldn't know what to do.
Well, that's been normalized to them. So, like, when something is normalized to you, whatever you've grown up with, whatever you're used to, you really don't know life outside of that. And it's uncomfortable when you find that. So even like when somebody expresses their love in a way to where you're being violent towards each other, if you're being violent back, You think that you love each other. You're two crazy fucking people that don't need to, either one of you need to be in a relationship. But that's how you express it. For me, I have to have somebody, and I have that person, luckily, that their crazy matches my crazy. Like, and that's cool with me. That's why I've always been obsessed with this woman since we dated the first time. But like, there's a lot of people that they get turned off by crazy, but they don't realize if that crazy matches your crazy, you're fucking golden. That is the best shit ever. That's what people ought to look for.
Is that the spark we all want? Is that the
Yes.
spice we're looking for?
It's you're never bored. Think about it like this. Me and her were literally talking about this on the way back from Nashville yesterday. Me and her, whether we're doing nothing at all or we're in Nashville, we have just as much fun together, and it's because we're both a little bit crazy. And we both joke, we play, we have the same type of love languages and all that type of shit. So both of us being off turns us both on. Like that's, I mean, it works for both of us.
I heard something interesting yesterday. It wasn't on TikTok because I can't get on TikTok, but they said that if you always date somebody that you're really compatible with, then you're not actually pushing yourself and your boundaries. Like you're not
Yeah.
stepping outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah, sometimes I'm going
No.
over that boundary where I should.
Well, I thought it was an interesting concept, but I don't think it fits everyone.
Yeah, I don't. I like compatible. Like that's what you kind of should thrive for. Like you want somebody that completes the puzzle piece. You
My whole
can't.
thing is looking for somebody who's home. And so compatible would be important to me also.
You need a safe space.
Yeah, I want to go home to that person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring
Well,
some home.
too many people have that thing to where they're like, a relationship is 50-50. That's the stupidest fucking thing to me.
I so agree. So
A
agree.
relationship is not 50-50. It's 100-100.
It's 100, 100, yeah.
You're supposed to be all right and capable of being a person by yourself before you are with somebody else. Like, yeah, you should. Like, it's that makes no sense to me.
And there's some days, I'll look at my husband and be like, look, I have 50% to give today. And he's going to pick up that other 50 and he's doing 150% today. It doesn't happen all the time, but there's some, we are very clear of our day and we start our morning every morning. Like, what do you have? What can you give
That
today?
would be that fill in the gap thing I was
Yeah.
talking
And
about.
so some days I'm like, look, I'm 110% in today. He's like, cool, I'm going to go take a nap. Like, it's absolutely right. It's never
That's
50-50.
also good communication. That's awesome.
Well,
Yeah.
you're never gonna be on all the time. Like you're
No.
never going to be. But like it should be the only reason why we date, the only reason why we get married, the only reason why we want a relationship is because we have a need to not be alone for one, but we don't want to do life by ourselves. You don't want to be with someone who makes life more difficult. You don't want to be with somebody that takes away. You want to be with somebody that adds to a situation. You want somebody that when you are on 50% juice that day, that'll give you their 50, that makes up that makes that day equally as good.
With that being said, I don't want somebody who's just a butt kisser either, though.
You
Does that make
don't, unless
sense?
well, I
What's a
don't think
butt kisser
anybody
mean? What does
does.
that mean?
Like, I don't want somebody who's just like, oh, you're so wonderful. Like, I'm having a shitty day. And they're like, oh, but you're so great. You're so wonderful. No, like,
Oh,
could you
I've had
just,
that. I hate that.
that's not, that's gross.
Yeah, you say that though, that's not your love language.
Yeah, true.
And
Very
I mean,
true.
there's sometimes my husband's been like, I've tried to pull that out of him as pity, and he's like, put your big girl panties on and get it together because this is not happening right now. And he
Yeah.
calls me out too. So, I mean,
So like I coach girls softball too, right? And one of the things that I have found out by coaching my daughter's softball team since she was little, all of y'all have to be spoke to different, even from a young age. Every single woman, on the a guy, you can about talk to all of us damn near the same. It ain't too much difference. But every one of y'all have to be talked to the way that you were comforted as a child or whoever comforted you growing up. How they taught you to feel safe, how they taught you to learn and how to grow. That is how you have to be talked to. If all you've ever known is somebody hollering and screaming at you and telling you put your big girl panties on and act right, then that's how I have to talk to you.
Yeah,
But
that's what
if you were
snaps you back,
but if
right? Yeah.
but if you were somebody that was held, that was coddled, that was a titty baby, then I have to treat you like a titty baby. It's up to us to figure out who you are and how you need to be comforted.
Oh, isn't that exhausting though for a man? Like, how?
Not if it's a woman you care. Like, that's the kind of like falling in love with your type of crazy.
Yeah. But when you're dating and dating and dating, you have to figure out all these women. It's not exhausting until you find your person and then you can figure it out. It's simple.
If you're a piece of shit and you're leading women on, yeah. Well, here's the thing, and I've said this so many times. I don't casually date. I do yeah. not. I've never been a casual dater. I only date you if I see a future in you. The reason why is because I'm not the guy that's going to sit there and lead you on and tell you, oh, I love you when I don't. I'm not the guy that's going to sit here and say what I have to just to try to get laid. I'm not that person. There's a lot of guys that do that shit, and they're going to try to learn you and all this kind of shit or whatever. If I don't see a future with you, I'm not going to try to learn you, because you're right. It is super exhausting. And I'm not fixing to be exhausted. Like, I'm just, that's why I don't know shit about like 99.9% of the women I've been around, because it's just not in my best interest to know all your shit. I know just enough about Leah to know that I love her as a sister and a friend, and I like being around her.
Do you know how many times he goes, I'm not doing it? He'll go, I'm not doing this with you today. Or he'll say it, like, if there's two girls of us with him, he'll go, I'm not listening to y'all's BS today. And I'm like, come on, it's fun. He goes, nope, I'm not doing it.
It's not at all.
He's respecting his emotional regularity to stay away from what the freaking
I think is. I think it's super entertaining. He does not.
It's not. Well, but the thing is with that, I get when you say shit. What you don't get is I'm a man having to hear it. And I get where you're coming from with a lot of shit, like you and Gypsy. I love Gypsy so much. Yeah, but y'all too, when y'all were talking about what y'all were talking about in the truck or whatever, it's like you realize this is like your brother having to hear this. I don't want to fucking hear it.
We were having not polite conversation.
Yeah, I don't want to hear it for one, but also too, some of the people I might know, and I don't want to fucking hear from their side either. There's no part of any of those conversations that I need to be privy to.
There's not all men feel that way. But I'm wondering if not all men feel that way because they are the type of men that are leading women on. Is they like to have these little bits of information so they can use it in their games.
I think there's a lot of pieces of shit out here. I really do. I think
there is.
Well, I've got friends. I've got a buddy that I literally just had to pretty much cut off not long ago because he's the type that will. I don't know the words, and I hate like all this shit like gaslighting. And I think all these new age words that people just decided to come up with a couple years ago are fucking stupid. You're either a good person and you talk well, or you're not. I really don't care. But this person would tell somebody everything that they wanted to hear, to where he was playing with their emotions and pulling those heartstrings just to get what he wanted. Then he was out of there. And it's like, okay. That's just cruel. Like, I don't do the cruelty. There's something about that will make me hate somebody in a heartbeat. If you want to get laid, have enough balls to sit here and say, you want to fuck?
Yeah, exactly.
We're adults.
Like, just
we're
that.
Adults.
Yeah.
Like,
hey, I mean, that's how I'm still friends with Cody.
Yeah.
You can be way smoother than that, obviously. But
well, I was not. I just literally went up to him in a bar and said, hey, let's go.
Yeah. Well, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. And baby, if you listen to this, this won't happen again. But it's happened to me before. Women, I will give some of y'all credit. When a woman just wants to have sex with somebody, she has the capability of walking up and fucking saying it to your face.
Yeah.
Not leading you on, not nothing else. She is a feral, savage bitch when she's horny.
We can be pretty feral.
I tell you though, it bit me because, I mean, we've been friends a really long time, Leah and I was always the one that was way too direct, and it turned all the men off because I was just like, look, I like you. Like, are we making this happen or not making this happen? And I would move on if we weren't. But I was always turned a lot of men off because I was chasing when they were not chasing me.
It wouldn't have worked for me. I wouldn't have liked it. I wouldn't have liked it at all, but I respect somebody being forward.
He'd high five you.
I'd high five you and I'd be like, go on now, bitch.
I don't believe I've actually seen him do that.
Yeah. I just there's nothing about that's appealing to me. But as I get why people do it. I wish that people would just be direct like that.
Do you think
I've been the
women
guy.
are better at it
Go ahead.
because we fear rejection less? Because women don't get rejected from sex as often as men do.
Yeah, y'all don't have nothing to fear because if you get turned down by that guy, you probably are going to find another guy that walks in 10 minutes later that you're going to be like, oh yeah, he's hot too.
Sure. Maybe the psychological thing is like maybe because I just wanted the rejection up front and center within the first 5 minutes, so I knew if you were wasting my time or not. And if you rejected me, then move on to the next person, and there's five guys later in the same night.
It depends on what feral state we're in. It really does.
True, true.
Yeah, I hate being feral state if you guys.
I mean, sometimes I'm not feral at all, and other times I am feral.
Well, we talk about this. You only get one good week a month out of me.
Yeah, there's like 4 days out of the month.
That good-hearted person that I really am deep down, you get 1 week a month of me. That's not enough. Feel bad.
Wait, are we talking about the horny good?
Oh, both. No, I'm talking about like the when I'm in love with my husband and I'm like doing nice things for him. It's really only 1 week a month, and I'm a terrible wife the other 3 weeks.
Josh,
It
seriously, is
sounds like
that?
it.
I'm telling you, I don't see why he's still around, to be honest with you. Like, I look at him every day and I'm like, why are you still here? He's such a good man. And I'm
He
like,
probably actually loves you.
Yeah, exactly.
He's also not American, so I think that plays a lot into it. Like, their
Where's he
idea of commitment.
from?
Hungry.
What?
He's Hungarian.
There's about seven jokes I could write on that one.
His actually nickname at work is the Hungarian Hammer.
Yeah, okay, he
Holy
probably lives up
shit.
to all your jokes. He's a
Holy
big boy.
shit.
He's yeah,
Hell
Hungarian
yeah. That's fire. If I was from another country, that would be the best thing ever. Where's Josh from? He's
we
from
used we worked
Hungary.
together for a long time, and we had to wear jerseys during certain sporting events, and his said the Hungarian Hammer and mine said the American Nail.
Oh, that's fine. See, that's great. I love that. That is wonderful.
Ashley and I got divorced at the same time, and both ended up with men much younger than us. Hers worked out and mine didn't.
Wait, how
But
young is he?
yeah, your age,
Okay,
y'all are
that's
same
not
age.
bad.
Well, he's like,
That's
what,
not
y'all
bad.
set like 7 or 8 years apart?
7.5. I mean,
Yeah,
seven and a half years apart.
he's from another young country. They age different anyway.
But this
Y'all
was.
probably like the same age mentally.
Now, but
Maybe.
whenever we did this, because this was in 2014, so he was like my ex also, he was in his early mid
We
20s.
started he 25 the week we started, it was his birthday. He was 25
Yeah.
and he turned 26 the same week.
So whenever we actually connected with these youngins, they were young.
Yeah.
I mean, y'all do what you do.
Well, yeah,
Whatever.
we both learned our lessons in different ways.
Were both of y'all married to older men before?
5 years
No.
older than me.
No, mine was like, well, 2 or 3. Mine was 2 or 3 years older than
Yeah,
me.
my
I don't
first
mean
one
a
was
lot
5 years.
older. I'm just saying, were they older than you?
Yeah, yeah.
That's usually the swing you see. You usually see women after they get divorced, somebody's older than them, go for somebody younger.
Well, this actually brings up something that I've been struggling with, and that's that I would really like to date my age, but I'm finding the men that are my age are so bitter and jaded and just angry, and so I've out of just default go back to having fun with the younger ones, which I know there's no future in. But you are close to my age-ish.
Yep.
What's wrong with these men?
Are you talking about the older, bitter ones?
Yeah.
They probably, one of the things I'm going through and learning a lot more is like self-awareness, like things that you can fix about yourself. A lot of older men, you got to understand, I'm only 37, so I'm going to speak for somebody that's 50 years old here that I should not be speaking for.
I
But if I understand this about my generation, then I would imagine an older generation is even tougher. You have to get it. We were taught by parents, by our dads and our grandparents, the complete opposite of everything that a woman actually wants. We were not taught how to love unconditionally. We were not taught how to express our emotions. We were not taught how to just talk about our feelings. That was never taught to me at 37. So, if it was not taught to me at 37, it damn sure was not taught to an older man. So, a bunch of these guys have lived their whole lives thinking about work, providing, and just getting by. They don't even have, a bunch of them don't even know what life is. Think about a lot of the guys that you've dated, a lot of guys that you know. They're focused solely.
Zaxby's just out Philly the Philly. again. The Zaxby's Chicken Philly is back with garlic aioli, sautéed peppers and onions, decadent melty cheese, and your choice of Zaxby's signature crispy chicken fingers or delicious grilled chicken. But it's only back for a limited time, so enjoy it while you can. No pressure. It's just the greatest sandwich of all time on a ticking clock. Order the Chicken Philly today. Who's got the sauce? Zaxby's.
On work to the point to where they forget that anything else exists.
It becomes their identity.
Oh my God, yeah, I love this.
They are so connected with that and nothing else. They don't even realize that there's life outside of it because that's all they've ever known.
Yeah.
Well, luckily, our generation is starting to break it down and the younger ones will get it even better. We're still struggling with the sins of our fathers and our grandparents not knowing any better.
Right.
Because that's all they ever learned. These guys don't know. If these guys were taught how to love, they were taught how to live, they were taught how to be truly happy. See, like where I'm from, at 18 years old, you're supposed to already have your high school sweetheart. You're supposed to have your career picked out and either go to college or go to tech school. You're supposed to have your job by 20. You're supposed to be married by 21. You're supposed to be retired by 45, 50 years old. Your whole life is planned out for you. At no part in that are you taught to chase your dreams.
Right.
To actually pursue something that you're passionate about. You're not taught.
Or get to know yourself.
Yeah, you're
not. No, you just put your face down and you work and you work and you work until it's not time to do it anymore.
And you know what happens? Men, when they realize that their whole life has passed them by, and all they did was make somebody else money, and they made themselves a few dollars, they become bitter.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm seeing. You hit the nail on the head. What I'm seeing is that they're usually divorced, and they feel like they've done all this work for someone else who then took half of it and ran off.
Yes.
And now you want to come into my life and take what's left over? And I'm like, hey, no, I'm not like that.
But also not just to throw the fellas under the bus. Think about it from the woman's perspective. That woman is going to sit there and nag at his ass. Maybe not y'all, but there are a lot of them out there. It's going to nag at his ass because all he focuses on in work and providing for her.
Yeah.
Okay. Or providing for the family. She doesn't realize that he doesn't know any better. So now put yourself in his shoes. He's had to hear a woman get mad because he didn't go on vacation with him. Had to because he came home late. All this other stuff. But he thinks in his mind, he's doing the only thing that he is supposed to do. Because
he's doing all the right stuff.
That's the only way he knows how to show you that he loves you is providing for you and making sure that lights are on and food's on the table. And somehow you find a way to show that you don't appreciate it. Like by nagging and fussing because you don't feel like he's doing enough. But he's doing all he knows how to do to show love. It's a very fucked up system.
It is a very messed up system.
Yeah, but it's really neither one of those fault because the woman wants more love because that's what she was taught. Y'all are all taught to have
feel
that beautiful white wedding, those fairy tale relationships and all that shit. That's all y'all were supposed to have. And when it ends up not being a fairy tale, then you're like, oh, this is bullshit. But it's not bullshit. It could still be a great relationship. I give this example to everybody. What's your favorite places to eat? Like your favorite steakhouse? Like it's got to be a nice place.
I'm a Ruth Chris girl.
I'm just glad if you feed me. I don't care.
Oh, I like a good Ruth Chris steak.
Okay, we'll go with you. What's your favorite thing? What's your favorite thing at Ruth Chris?
I want a filet.
Okay. Think about it like this. If you have thought about going to Ruth Chris all day and you think about how good that filet is going to be and you get there, and you take that first bite of it, and it hasn't lived up to what you have built it up in your mind. Is that steak bad, or is that steak not good? Like,
that's an expectation problem.
Yes, you've made the expectations too high, but that's still a damn good steak.
Yeah.
But because it doesn't meet your expectations, all of a sudden, Ruth's Chris, shit tonight.
Yeah.
this is garbage tonight. But
who's on the grill?
You got a really great steak. And that's the same thing with relationships. It's so bad that we do that. We build up this image of what they're supposed to be. Like with me, I told y'all a while ago, the reason I believe in the shit I believe in is because of my grandparents. My granddaddy, my papa, had to get divorced from one of my favoriteest people of all time, who was my grandmother on the other side. He had to leave her to marry my meemaw to find his happiness. My nanny is my everything. But he had to leave her to find his happiness.
That's a good thing, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. I'm glad he's happy.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have to leave what somebody else considered a fairy tale or something because it's not good enough for you.
Like, okay, I have to know like how old he was whenever he did that.
He had to be in his 30s.
Okay, so he was still young.
Yeah, he had to be 30s, 40s, like, but early 40s, if at that. Yeah, like my mom was young, but
a man that's actually paying attention to how he feels and not just putting his head in the sand, which is what we're saying.
Like, there's more to this story.
There probably is more to this story.
Oh, there's a lot. Yeah, my family beat my ass.
That's a really good small town Georgia story.
Yeah,
yeah, my family beat my ass if I told that story. Yeah, we're not doing that. They already don't like me, so we're not doing that. But
wait, this is on your dad's side or your mom's side?
Mom's side. I'm not getting uninvited from that Christmas. I get good shit there. But no, like, it's just we build up what it's supposed to be in our head. And we just miss the point that even if it's not what we wanted it to be, that doesn't mean that it's not special, that it's not good enough. It's just not what you saw in the fucking movies. That's it. Like, it's not a Disney movie.
But the movies aren't real, right?
No, that's what I tell my girls. I mean, I have 4 kids. I have adult children. I have adult girls. I'm like, that is not reality. And I don't want them to fall into that trap of thinking it is. Like, that's not what life is. And you have to mirror at home in your own marriage and relationship what reality is.
Okay, so I've noticed, because she has a daughter that's a year older than my oldest son. And so they're at this, like, they're in their early 20s, and I got married at 21 and started my family at 21. So
I would have a heart attack.
Have a heart attack if my son was getting married too. But I've noticed in their dating, their age group, that they almost have like a resume that they show up with. You talk about like checking the boxes, Josh, but this is more like a resume. Like, what is it that you're going to, how much money are you going to make whenever you get out of school? Where do you want to live? Instead of it being an emotional connection.
Yeah, they all going to be divorced by the 30.
They'll have 3 kids. They'll have their 2.5 kids, and then he'll pay child support forever. Do you think that's playing into the bitter man now?
I think it's playing in. I think that's more social media.
Yeah.
I think that's more of, you've got all these people now to where when they sit there and look at social media and they see that the options that they have right off the bat, if you don't click all their boxes, then they're going to find somebody at their fingertips that can.
They're always going to be something better. There's always somebody hotter, and there's always somebody that's a little better qualified.
Well, that's why you don't go off of looks. That's why you go off connection. You're supposed to find somebody that shows you the difference between lust and passion.
Right.
You're supposed to show somebody that makes you long for them. Mm-hmm. Somebody that when you pull out their fucking driveway, you miss them. Like, you don't get that by just checking fucking boxes. You have to actually be around people. And like,
I see a lot of cheating with the box checkers.
Well, that's what I'm saying too, is your spouse, say they have 80 or 90% of what you're looking for. The people they're cheating with are those people that have that extra 10% that their spouse is missing. Mm-hmm. And now they just lost all of what they had
for
10%.
Yeah, I don't believe that. I think people cheat because it's easy. Mm-hmm. Most of the time. I don't think it's that. I think you have shitty people.
Well, that's what their 10% is they're not the moral values that your spouse may have.
I get what you're saying, but there's a lot of people that when they cheat, they downgrade.
Oh yeah.
That's what I'm saying. They're downgrading. But yeah.
It's easy. It's just that they're easy, or there's something that's lacking, or some, I don't know. Like, there's so many reasons why people do.
There's so many reasons for cheating,
but you really don't see people that are truly happy cheating.
No,
like, you don't. I mean, there's always going to be cheaters. There's always going to be pieces of shit. But there's just, if you're truly happy and you find some, like, if you find somebody that shows you the difference, like I said a while ago, between lust and passion, you will never cheat. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't. I posted something, I think Leah's actually in the fucking video because it was from New Year's. But when you find somebody that lights a fire in your soul, you can't be with somebody who doesn't.
Oh, like, I remember that post.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, you can't. Like, when, if you ever sleep with somebody that it's more than just sex, you about can't sleep with anybody else. It's impossible.
I mean, you can.
I mean, you can,
it's
but
it's not fulfillment. It's not the same fulfillment.
It's not
just
the same.
Fulfilling a body, not fulfilling your soul.
Yeah, you literally are just there.
Yeah.
I just had this conversation with somebody recently about, I was like, yes, I still have feral. I still am feral. Like I have, and we joked about, I stay home. And the reason why I stay home whenever I'm feral is because I get no fulfillment. It's an immediate gratification. Like, I mean, in the moment, but immediately I regret it.
Yeah, there's your body.
Well, how many times have you been to Nashville with me and I brought a girl back?
I actually have been lucky enough to avoid most of any shenanigans, but I haven't seen you bring a girl back.
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. Like, I don't. Because
I just...
Yeah, no, I've only seen... I've known Josh about a year, and we've spent a lot of time together. I mean, once a month, we basically live together for a week. And I don't see... He doesn't hit on women. He doesn't, and women hit on him all the time because he's there as a personality, an entertainment personality. And no. And I think that's some of the reason why him and I get along so well is because I'm able to kind of confide in him on that, which is.
And I do appreciate, like, I follow you on everything too. And it's like, I see you carry yourself in these situations where you can see that presence of like, you're not there for the women, or you're not there like some of these other men are. And I appreciate the way you carry yourself. It's impressive.
Well, I appreciate that. I just, at some point in my life, I figured out, and I know this will be like the third time I said this now, I figured out the difference between lust and passion.
Yeah.
I really did. And if somebody doesn't do that for me, it's just a waste of time. It's boring to me. Like, I don't know how else to tell it to anybody. When I go out, and especially in Nashville, it's worked for me anyway. But... now I wouldn't because I'm seeing somebody again, but this same person, when me and you first met, I was about that way about her then, to where I didn't want to be around nobody. Like, I wanted to get done doing what I was doing and get back to the house.
Yeah.
And even when we were not together for however long it was, like, I just knew that existed.
Yeah.
And I didn't want just some, and I got some amazing women that are my friends and everything, and they've introduced me to their buddies and all that kind of stuff. And I, like, there's just a bunch of unattractive women I was around. I'm usually around attractive women, but nobody ever did it for me. Like, no one at any point in time made me be like, okay, like, this is what I
this
want.
This is where I'm at right now in my life. Nobody does it for me.
And I drink a lot when I'm up there.
But you are in a working mentality, which I kind of am it too. And that's another reason why I loved spending so much time with him, because there was actually productivity happening. It wasn't just going out and partying. But so, yeah, I mean, you had two things going against you. You weren't being fulfilled, and you were in work mode. People on the outside looking in do not realize that it's work, though.
I don't really realize. I quit trying to explain myself to people a very long time ago. You can see by the stuff that we have going on. If you think I'm just up there playing around or anything that I do, if I thought that you too didn't have a good thing going here, I wouldn't be doing your show. I don't do shit that doesn't have meaning, that isn't good.
Right.
I'm always working. I don't just do shit to do shit.
Hey, I know you do. Like, you're obviously a podcaster, but do people ask you all the time, what do you do?
All the time.
And how do you answer it? Because I always just like, I'm like, oh, here I go.
I tell them I mind my own fucking business.
I need to start giving that answer. But even my parents, I go, are y'all, just sit down.
My whole part when you said that statement, I was like, it's your mama. It's your mama.
Can you sit down, please?
I usually tell people I work in social media and around country music.
Yeah. That works.
Yeah. If people don't know, plus also too, I don't brag on anything that I do. I don't like talking about what I do. When I go out where some people just love the light, the spotlight or whatever, I'm usually the guy that wants to be in the corner drinking a beer. I don't want to talk to everybody. Like, I want to talk to my friends. That's it. I don't want anybody to know who I am or what.
Well, I love having the conversations, but I don't need it to be all over social media.
Yeah.
It's funny for me to say that because I'm all over social media, but I'm actually not putting it all out there.
Well, people don't get this is a tool. All this is, like, For me, social media is a marketing tool that leads to you listening to my podcast. Mm-hmm. My podcast leads to other business opportunities for me. Social media is just a free form of advertisement for myself, whether it is me making a post and my beliefs or me talking shit or posting clips from the show. My social media is not a regular person's social media. Not that I think I'm special or anything. I don't, but it is as if I am running my social media as if it is a business within itself.
Okay. I have a question that I just thought about. So you originally lost your job in radio because of some controversial things that you said. I know you pretty well, and I've spent a lot of time with you, and I've watched you record and film many podcast episodes, and you don't really speak too much or like controversial. And yes, he says he speaks his mind, but you don't say crazy things. Do you feel that you're able to really be yourself now?
The controversial shit that I said in radio was only controversial because I said it here. I just to give y'all a little background on it, just so not everybody's wondering. So NASCAR banned the Confederate flag, the rebel flag or whatever, right? During COVID. I'm a white Southern male from South Georgia. I do not support the Confederate flag. I do not. I have a lot of friends that are in different communities than I am, that are of different skin tone than I am. That flag does not mean a fucking thing to me. If it means something to you, by all means, if it's heritage to you, that's cool. But I got a lot of friends that don't like it. And I stated that opinion right there on radio. And some people didn't like it. Sons of the Confederacy around here sending death threats to the radio station for calling in. Coolest moment, though. This is why I tell everybody to take opportunities to stand up for what you believe in, though. That day, an old woman, she was probably in her 70s or 80s, called into the radio station. And we had a live conversation.
Wow.
And she did not change her opinion on it. She did not change her mind on it. But the stuff that I threw out there to her about it, she's told me she had never thought about it from the way that I had presented it to her. Like one of the things that I had to tell people on radio that day that lit some people's asses, everybody always wants to throw out the argument with it of how it started. It came up from overseas as like part of something in Ireland. I can't fucking remember. But once it was adopted as a hate symbol, it's always a hate symbol. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing you can't get around it. The swastika from Nazis, I don't know if y'all know this, it was a symbol of peace in the Middle East before Hitler adopted as a Nazi symbol. Mm-hmm. But you'll never you'll never know that unless you look it up, because once you see a swastika, now it's a symbol of hate.
Yeah.
And you can never go backwards with hate.
Right.
You can't. So I said that on radio. What was the other thing I also did? Also, I posted a picture at one point in time of me. I was naked, but I was holding a just shut up. I was holding.
He says it like I said. I was naked.
I was holding a world championship wrestling belt that I had bought from Hulk Hogan's shop, and I was covering my midsection, so you could not see any nudity. And it was this whole long post about body dysmorphia. I had just recently went from like 330 pounds down to like 260, 250, but every time I looked in the mirror, I literally still saw 330. And I just made this post about it because I was learning about body dysmorphia. And it was a way for me to kind of put it out there.
Not everybody, but a lot of people like to talk about things like that whenever they've had those transitions.
Well, the thing was, and there's a lot of more controversy about why I got fired too. But I had blown that show up in the time that I was there, to where they had won awards they had never won. They were number one. They had never been one there. All this kind of stuff. The person that I had that was the co-show host had been there for 10 years. She had went through 8 different, like I was the actual host of the show. I did 4 hours. She did 2. She had never got anything. Like, she's a great salesperson. She's a decent radio personality, but they never won shit till I got there. And the only reason they won shit when I got there, there's these things in radio called prep sheets, okay? These prep sheets are sent to every single radio station all over the country. Every single station you could ever listen to gets the same information every morning. Do you think Howard Stern reads those prep sheets?
No.
He comes up with his own content. He talks about the things that he wants to talk about. Then the listener engages with him and likes him. I never talked about prep sheets. I never took, it's Matthew McConaughey's birthday. No, I talked about depression. I talked about anxiety. I talked about faith. I talked about everything that I wanted to talk about. And it gave the listener a reason to tune into me instead of every other station in the state of
He
Georgia.
was read the same prep sheet.
Yeah. So there was a lot of shit that was going on there that was a change for the get or for the co-show host. Bad thing is when you're the host and you don't do sales, because my job was to go there, do my shows, and I got to leave every day. I did 4 hours every day. Person I was working with was their number one sales rep that was making them hundreds of thousands of dollars a year.
Yeah.
Well, that person complains enough and they're not getting the spotlight anymore.
Yeah.
They're gonna keep the person that's making them money, not
They're
the
gonna
person they're having.
prioritize.
Yeah, and I don't knock them for that. I don't know. I
No,
don't
you can't
knock
hate
them.
that.
No, but also that radio station is pretty much out of business now, so they can go fuck
We're almost out of time, but
off.
I do want to point out that you haven't said this, and I don't know if you realize it, but you obviously are a great podcaster, and you are made for podcasting, not radio hosting. You had a God moment whenever you were playing poker in Florida. Because would you
Yep.
have done podcasts if you hadn't been sitting there across the table from that iHeartRadio guy?
I probably would have thought it was such an uphill battle, I wouldn't have pursued it. There was something about it, dude. There really was. There was something about being there. Okay, so to give you the whole God moment, since you brought it up, I feel like I have to tell y'all this. I was fired on my birthday, September the 10th, anyway, right? Like, I was in a tattoo chair in Macon, Georgia. And you've seen the tattoo like on my arm over here. I've wanted this tattoo for 12 years. I decided on this birthday I was getting it, but it's God's armor.
Oh, interesting.
I was getting God's armor tattooed on me when my program director called, fired me. He was extremely upset. He did not want to let me go. Shout out to Skills. I love you. I hope we get to work together again one day. You're a great human being. He did not want to fire me at all. So then I have all these messages already on my phone from little kids wishing me happy birthday all over their Facebook, all over mine, everything. So I go from doing the show that morning to going straight to making and getting tattooed, getting God's armor tattooed, getting all these messages. Well, that night, because it's Friday, it's my birthday, I have to go host my birthday concert with Jacob Bryant. You were at a show that Jacob Bryant
Yeah, I
played
know
for
who he is.
me.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is what's crazy. Jacob Bryant's got a couple songs that are very faith-based, but they're country music faith-based. None of this was planned, obviously, but that's how like he ends the show. I'm sitting there. I'm a crybaby bitch the whole time. I think everything's over for me. But I'm having to listen to these empowering songs from Jacob and get done with that at the bar that night. We go down there. And then that dude tells me that. And it was like literally everything just pieced itself together from it being my birthday, getting God's armor tattooed on me, hearing Jacob Bryan sing country slash faith songs. This guy from my heart radio sitting at the poker table with me. It was like I had all these things that were saying, I'm literally telling you which way to
Yeah,
go.
you couldn't have more of a
Yeah,
billboard.
like I
Flashing
was scared.
neon sign. Yeah.
With an
I need God to
arrow.
speak to me
Yeah.
that
Well, I think he does to all of us though. I just think we're stupid.
You
Like
gotta
the
hear it.
minute,
You gotta be willing to hear it.
Yeah, you gotta be
yeah.
ready and willing.
There's so many things. Like and I've learned that. I've focused on my faith a whole lot more the past 6, 7 months. But like one thing I've really just figured out is sometimes you gotta shut up. So
Yeah.
like you don't know everything. You
Yeah.
don't know. And it is true. Like if you pray and you pray and you pray, and it is his will. But this is what's beautiful about it. Once you get this mindset, and this is what has just saved my life, I really think, since May of last year, is when you figure out that some things don't work out because they're not supposed to work out, and them not working out is the plan.
Yeah, and you
Like,
accept it.
yeah, and when you get it really through your head that even when you lose, you're not losing. that's a learning experience. That's part of the plan. Now, what did I learn from that? Like, even with me and Shelby, even with her, I know exactly now, because I lost her when I thought we were fixing to get engaged and all that shit last year, I know how to be a good man now, to where I wasn't being a good man then. There was a lot of things I was doing so fucking wrong that I should not have been doing wrong. It took me losing her to figure it, to find myself, to be honest with you, to get closer to God, to become a better father, to become a better business owner, to become a better podcaster, all this kind of stuff. I had to be broke down to where I didn't know if I was going to see tomorrow. It broke me so bad. But there was something I heard from a sermon when I was working out and losing weight. And it was like, it's pretty much saying that the reason why we have to be brokenhearted and the reason why we have to be shattered sometimes is because that's more pieces for us to give to God.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I really took that to heart. And when I was like, this didn't happen for no reason. I can wallow in this pain. I can sit here and I can just be a crybaby bitch about it. Or I can pray harder and I can figure out why I went through it. I think there's a lot of people.
And let it go.
Well, they just give up.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that want to be in the pain.
Oh, yeah. That's where they're comfortable. That goes back to that domestic violence relationship we were talking about.
For them.
Yeah. And they're not looking inward.
Yeah, but we don't know how beautiful life can be till we get on the other side of the pain.
Absolutely.
But you have to go through it. God will let you go through hell just so you know what heaven's worth.
Absolutely. Completely agree.
I don't need any therapy today. I'm counting.
I know. I feel so much better. Thank you, Josh.
Hey, I'll tell you, you come to Nashville with us, you give me a couple of drinks. I am a therapist.
I have her like 80% convinced to come in for Super Bowl weekend.
I'm not being on Super Bowl weekend.
I know. Yeah,
there's no way. I think I have to go next week to my round for just the day.
I'll be there for the round.
On the 6th?
No, it's on the 12th.
No, it's not. It got moved.
Nobody told me.
I just found out. I'm telling you now. By the way, everybody's listening to this. Raising Grace Rounds, Live Oak, February the 6th. And we're starting our second show at Live Oak. This will be the first one that we distribute that I'm not, I will be part of, but won't be hosting. Miss Court Taylor, we're going to start the courtroom. She will be handling that. So we'll be having two shows come out now from Live Oak. Leah eventually is going to get to do one. I just hadn't told her yet. She just didn't know that. I'm fixing to make it to where I don't have to be in Nashville anymore than I have to be. And you guys are going to just take a load off me.
Hey, thank you so much for doing this. I appreciate it.
It's been wonderful.
Y'all great. Change your fucking name of the show.
Okay, you send us some suggestions.
Y'all were good. Not only say that, I only say it because y'all are good. Personalize it. Make it something for y'all. Make it something that stands out. When you're good at this, you can tell. I've been around enough people. Like I told Leah, I don't do shit I don't want to do. I will make up an excuse in a heartbeat.
You will do that.
I will. I do not. I've listened to some of the clips and stuff. Y'all are good. Personalize it. Make every episode your own. I mean, I know you already do that anyway, but have fun with it.
Yeah, right. Enough to be in a lawsuit about.
You're not going to get, if I haven't got sued yet, y'all ain't getting sued.
I'm surprised you haven't been sued yet.
have you never seen the videos from what was it that I got served with? Oh, I blasted them. I got served where I was supposed to not talk about anybody anymore. What are those things called?
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a document that a lawyer gives you. I got
cease and desist.
Cease and desist.
I got a cease and desist already. But
I get those from my exes.
I wiped my ass with it on the show and on social media, and I told them to come get me. Bring that shit on. But anyway, no, I appreciate it.
All right, I'll let you
me.
Go back to your Monday. Thank you again so much. And I need to start documenting more whenever I'm with you in Tennessee.
Okay. Thank both of y'all. And y'all send me this whenever y'all get done.
All right. Love you.
Bye.
Love y'all too.
Bye.
See y'all later. Bye.
Taxes was taxing. Now taxes is relaxing when you file for free.
I can file for free.
TurboTax Free Edition, roughly 37% of filers qualify. Simple form 1040 returns only. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free. I can file for free.
Now this is taxes. File for free with TurboTax Free Edition and get your maximum refund. No schedules except for earned income tax credit, child tax credit, and student loan interest. See if you qualify at TurboTax.com/free.